Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown. Welcome back. I am so exhausted. I'm sure that y'all are feeling this too. Like some days, especially at this point in quarantine, I'm just tired all day and I don't know why. And part of me thinks it's because since I'm like unemployed, I don't have like a reason to have to like gear up and go do something. So my energy just kind of always feels a little bit depleted. And that's where I'm at today. So apologies in advance. But here we fucking are. First and foremost, before we get into Roni, because Roni is finally back. If you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter and at Hannah A. Brown Zero on the TikToks. You guys, this is crazy stuff. Okay. Something wild happened this week. Something has changed within me. That's a Wicked reference. My TikTok garnered a great deal of praise from the TikTok youths, cute little frog in my throat there. I have a video that has almost 1 million views. I have another one that has like 60 point something thousand. And listen, I know this is vapid. I know it's dumb. I know that TikTok is going to be banned literally tomorrow due to data mining, but that's neither here nor there. In this one glimmering moment in time, I have been validated by the youths of TikTok on a massive scale. And I'd be lying if I said it didn't feel absolutely scrumptious. And I know it'll go away. I know that this TikTok fame, hello, is fleeting, but it is fun. And it's also just like, I'll never fucking understand the madness that is TikTok, because the video that the kids decided they liked was like a 10-second bullshit video that I just threw together for funsies because I liked my outfit that day. Meanwhile, the TikTok I did where I was dubbing my voice over the movie Now and Then took me like 2 hours to shoot and no one could give a rip. Anyway, so follow me on the TikToks, Hannah A. Brown Zero. And I promise that fame won't change me. I will be my not aspirational self. My 2 days of TikTok fame will not change me, I swear. Beverly Hills came back this week. Erin is batshit crazy. You know, I've said this last week. Bravo is, I'm just having a really hard time giving it my attention. I find Beverly Hills to be really boring. I think Garcelle is fantastic and I love her new house. That was like the highlight of the episode for me, was seeing that fucking gorgeous house that she got herself. But the rest of it, couldn't tell you what happened. Couldn't tell you what happened. Like, Erica had some tension with Erin. I didn't care. Roni, on the other hand, had been getting very stale to me. But this episode felt like, it felt fresh. Like, it felt like a couple seasons back, minus Bethany. And I was really into it. And I think it probably has something to do with Bluestone Manor, the change of scenery. But I mean, the end of this episode was so wild that I felt exhilarated. I felt an excitement coursing through my veins that I haven't felt in weeks. And it was very refreshing. So let's get into the episode. We open in the Berkshires at Bluestone Manor, looking gorgeous as ever. And Dorinda is trying to call the ladies and invite them over for the weekend. The first person that Dorinda calls is Sonia, and her voice message was wild. She's like, "You've reached Sonia in the city." And Dorinda's like, "I feel like this weekend is going to be the start of my new life up in the Berkshires, an opportunity to exhale and show people that this is my house." So she's calling all the ladies to invite them, but literally nobody answers. And I was sure that Elise and her bangs would answer like on the first ring. Like, that's the Elise vibe to me. But sure enough, no one answers. And she's like, "I'm a loser. It's official." And then we cut to Sonia's apartment and Elise arrives. And Sonia is wearing a sensible pair of daytime sequined sweatpant capris. We love to see it. And Elise tells us that she knows Sonia from running around on the peripheral of Manhattan. Just a couple crazy girls running around on the peripheral. And we, by the way, I said this last week, I'll say it again, I'm definitely not the only one saying this. Sonia in her at-home confessions, like, she looks amazing. Like, what the fuck happened to her face, the lighting, her makeup? Like, she looks incredible, especially compared to, like, during the season. Also, really quick, if you're not watching the Bravo Breakdown recaps of Roni, first of all, follow the Bravo Breakdown because Sasha is hilarious and amazing and her takes on Bravo are wonderful. But she does these recaps of Roni and she made a good point that she thinks that like Sonia's face was just like looking kind of weathered during the season from drinking. And now clearly in the off season, she's like getting it together because she looks gorgeous in her at home confessionals for sure. So Sonia and Elise are talking and they're catching up about just like how much Ramona sucks. They're commiserating over that. And we find out that Elise went to Omar's, which was the second Halloween party. Or actually, there were multiple incidents at Omar's, but there was an incident where Elise went to Omar's and Ramona gave her the cold shoulder. And it's revealed also that Ramona wore a thotty swimsuit in front of Elise's husband and then massaged him. Who the fuck does that? I truly like, and Elise was just like, yeah, isn't that crazy? I'm like, Elise, if Ramona did that to Jake, I would probably pull her hair. I probably would. Like, that's so fucking insane. It's such a crossing of a boundary. Is it also insane to pull someone's hair? Sure. But, you know, Ramona started it. We cut to Luann and Leah shopping. And Leah's like, do you know how long it's going to take for me to brush this out? Because her hair is still like kind of curled from the Halloween party and she's super fucking hungover. But Luann is fresh as a daisy, as per usual, totally fine. Ramona walks in. She's like, oh, it's such peaceful in here. It's like fashion, high end fashion. And Luann asks, so what happened last night? And Ramona's like, you know, I thought about it. I love Dorinda. I love having her in my life. I think she's mourning her husband's death for the first time. No, she's never mourned her husband's death, okay? And Luann and Leah kind of side-eye each other like, no, you literally just rubbed Dorinda the wrong way ever since the Larry Scott of it all when you forced her to like drive 2 hours to Larry Scott's showroom just to like force her to take a picture so you could get a free party. And Ramona's like, no, wait, that's ridiculous. Okay, you know what? Maybe they're embarrassed because they don't have 50 girlfriends. Luann's like, ha, Ramona, give me a break. Ramona really flexes this alleged 50 girlfriend situation and it's fucking exhausting. Then a shock to no one, Luann tries on a sequined drum major jacket. Wild, wild, wild. Lots of sequins going on in Roni. And listen, I'm not mad at it, but it's just kind of a funny trope that I've observed. Leah debuted a new confessional look that was a mesh yellow and like red or maybe fuchsia tie-dye situation with attached glovelets. And I'm like, whoa, the kids on TikTok with their tie-dye, they're shook. TikTok wishes, okay? Then Ramona reveals that she thinks Dorinda is a loose cannon. She's a loose cannon. Luann's basically like, the feeling is mutual. Like, Dorinda feels the exact same way about you. And Luann wants them to work it out. And Ramona's like, no, but what she did last night was horribly mean. Horribly mean. I wanted to cry. So Ramona fully feels like she's victimized in the situation with the Halloween party when Dorinda made her speech and was like, are you drunk? Then we cut back to Bluestone Manor where Dorinda is talking to her housekeeper, Len. And Dorinda instructs Len not to get Ramona anything. So they, you know, do this little role-playing situation where Dorinda's like, okay, so I'm Ramona. Len, will you get me a glass of Pinot Noir? And at first, Len is like, sure. And Dorinda's like, no! And so they go back and they do it again. And then Len ultimately comes up with the response, no, Miss Ramona, this is not a hotel. There is no room service. If you want wine, you can go downstairs. I would love to say that in response to someone without them watching Roni. Like, if someone asks me to do something I don't want to do, I would love to just, like, snap back with, no, Miss Ramona, this is not a hotel. There is no room service. If you want wine, you can go downstairs. And then just have the person be, like, utterly confused. Dorinda is like, you know, it's so funny. We're having oysters tonight. And I found an oyster platter downstairs. You know, we could open an oyster store in this house. You know, what's Hannah going to do with all my stuff when I'm gone? Probably throw it away. And Len's like, oh, no, like, don't die, Dorinda. I'll miss you so much. And then Dorinda's like, well, I hate to break it to you, but you're probably going before me. And I was like, okay, Dorinda, that was morbid and uncalled for. You didn't need to say that. Also, Dorinda is in this jumpsuit with a sensible hot pink Gucci sock and clogs. It's a mood. It's a vibe. It's just, it's a lazy, a very lazy, very rich vibe. And then they talk about Dorinda's basement flooding and how she had to get rid of all of Richard's stuff. So, oh, by the way, at this point, Leah and Sonia have arrived. So Dorinda's like, I had to get rid of all of Richard's stuff because of, you know, the flood. But, you know, Dorinda says the house feels more alive and it feels fresh and clean. And then Dorinda's giving Leah a tour and she's like, I love my kitchen. This is my retreat. And then there was this whole, so during this whole tour, it was basically like the Haunted Mansion at Disney World, where like every room in the house has some insane historical, like ghostly moment that happened once upon a time before, from like Ramona's dog Coco shitting on the rug to the murder mystery party to you don't touch the Morgan letters. I mean, so many iconic things going on there. So Leah's just getting the tour being like, wow, this is so beautiful. Meanwhile, Luann and Ramona are en route to the Berkshires, and Ramona's plan is to pretend like nothing's wrong, bring some beautiful flowers, and move on. Fingers crossed. And Luann and Ramona are apparently thinking similarly about like the Halloween party. Luann like agrees that Dorinda went below the belt. And it's just kind of wild to see like Luann and Ramona on the same page, because I just feel like they've had this rivalry since like season one. And I'm like, wow, times have changed. So Lou and Ramona arrive. Luann was wearing this baby blue jacket with fur. She fully thinks that she's like about to do her cabaret show like at all times based on the way she dresses. But I loved that jacket. It had sort of like a Cher Horowitz energy to it that I really liked. And then Ramona's like, oh my God, look at the house. It's so rich looking. And Luann like bursts onto the veranda being like, Chiquitas. And then Ramona runs into Dorinda's arms dramatically. Classic. And she's like, you know, I want to make peace with you, baby. I brought flowers for peace, because you know what? And Dorinda's like, oh, those are beautiful. And she's like, well, yeah, because you're beautiful inside and out. And Ramona claims that Dorinda is not mad at her, that she's mad at life because she feels like life has cheated her. Again, Ramona is incapable of taking any sort of responsibility or like really doing any sort of self-reflecting. Has been the same thing for like 12 seasons now. Then Dorinda's showing Ramona and Luann their rooms, and she puts Lou in the new and improved fish room. It's been glamorously updated. Luann makes out with the shark, and then Dorinda, for shits and giggles, put the swordfish in Ramona's bed. And Ramona's like, you know what? I'm just not going to respond and be cool as a cucumber. Luann has wine. So Luann's drinking on this trip, and that will come into play later. So then we find out that Elise blocked or unfollowed Ramona. And there's this sort of like chitter chatter amongst the women about what's a block versus an unfollow. What does it mean? Did it happen? Did it not? And Dorinda's like, I've never been blocked by anyone. And Leah's like, I can't say the same. But Elise posted a picture on Instagram saying, it's all fun and games until someone pisses me off. It reminds me of my AIM days. I loved a vague AIM away message, especially when like a guy I liked, like, you know, I thought we were in some lover's quarrel, but he didn't know I existed. One of my favorite AIM away messages was quoting the song 2 Points for Honesty by Guster. That was one of my favorites, where I would just put in quotes like vaguely, if that's all you will be, you'll be a waste of time, dot, dot, dot. Just to hope that the guy I liked would like understand that it was about him. It never worked out that way, but truly like a vague social media moment. It's like, how old are we? Listen, I loved it. I loved Elise's shady Instagram picture because it's like incendiary as fuck. And, you know, it made for a really great episode of all these women fighting at Bluestone. But I was just like, okay, just address the problem head on. Sonia is titillated by the notion of the women piling on Ramona and airing their grievances. So Elise and her bangs arrive, and then all the ladies sit down to lunch, and there are these ice balls. So they're making like all these jokes about balls. And Leah's like, I slept with a guy with one ball once. It was like a one and done kind of thing. And then Dorinda's like, welcome to Bluestone Manor, everyone. She like lifts her glass with her balls in it. She's awake and better than ever. And then she shows Elise her room and she's like, this is where I come to rest. And it like kind of looked like someone might have died in there, but like in a chic way. And then Elise brings up how everyone went to Omar's after the haunted house, but she wasn't invited. And she kind of like zeroes in on Ramona and she's like, why wouldn't you invite me? And Ramona claims that it's because she hadn't seen her girlfriends of 12 years. And Elise is just like, bullshit. Ramona's like, no, you know what? I want to have this conversation privately. Okay, I want to have this conversation privately. And Sonny's like, no, let's have this conversation here. I'm next to the cake. Honestly, that's my truth. I felt very aligned with Sonia this week, from like wanting to like chill in the kitchen and eat the cake to later on wanting to order pizza and go to bed early to ultimately crying. Like I was like, wow, Sonia, you and I are two peas in a pod. They all know what's about to go down. And that is that Ramona is going to gaslight Elise when Elise tries to confront her about what a shitty friend Ramona's been to her. So all the ladies, so Ramona and Elise like adjourn to another room, but then all the ladies immediately follow to try and offer support. And Leah's like, I don't like gaslighters and I'm not going to let Elise be another victim. So Ramona claims that she likes to handle one-on-one, like she likes to handle conflicts with her girlfriends in a one-on-one setting without other people being involved. And Elise is like, that is bullshit. And Dorinda's like, dare I say I'm enjoying watching Ramona squirm a bit? And you know what? There's nowhere to go. And Ramona's like, okay, look, bottom line is, what's your problem? You now have 1, 2, 3, 4 friends. I shared my friends. So Ramona is like very much holding it over Elise's head that she like invited her to be on the show and invited her like to hang out with her and her friends. And it's like, that's not how this goes. If you're going to invite her into your circle of friends, you don't get to like act like you gave her this big gift, especially after like you inviting her to hang out with you and your friends and be on the show does not cancel out you being a shitty person to her. Like, I don't understand Ramona's logic. It's twisted. So Luann's watching them argue and she's mumbling to Dorinda like, oh, this is better than Broadway. And Elise is like, it's your job to treat me with respect. And Ramona's like, you know what? You were so narcissistic. And Dorinda's like, narcissistic. And Luann's like, you can't pay for tickets to this shit. Ramona then mocks Elise, doesn't let her talk, and is like, you know what? Enjoy my friends. Enjoy my friends. No, enjoy my friends. I share everything with you. I'm not doing this now. And Sonia's like, oh, she's running. We got a runner. Like, Sonia just is calling out how Ramona refuses to acknowledge her fuck ups. And it's true. I said this last week. Ramona's impulse is always to like flee the scene. And then Luann calls out that Ramona has selective memory because she's actually the queen of scenes. And we see this epic montage of Ramona like making a scene at different parties and events, including but not limited to, wow, Bethany, wow. I like truly just like have forgotten all the insane moments Ramona has given us. And she's so insufferable, but like, I mean, so she's a comedic genius in her like full blown delusion. Ramona then, speaking of delusion, fully victimizes herself and claims that everything going on as far as people having problems with her is because Dorinda was bitchy to her. And she's like, you know what? I was so distraught. And Luann tries to call out that Dorinda's toast was too far. She's like, well, hold on. And Dorinda's like, don't do it. Be careful. And then Leah's jaw drops. She's like, what? Like, Leah is so shocked that Dorinda refuses to hear Luann out. And so, but Dorinda takes Leah's jaw dropping as Leah like backing her up. And she's like, exactly, Leah. And Luann's like, no, you know, the toast was just really dark and mean. And Dorinda's like, don't go there. And Sonia's like, you're defending the devil. And Lou's like, I'm not defending the devil. And honestly, Luann in this scene seemed pretty like, I don't know, pretty grounded as far as like, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't be annoyed with Ramona, but you did kind of take it a little far with the toast. And then from this moment to where she ended up at the end of the episode, I mean, fuck, it's just a testament to what a lot of rosé can do to somebody. It's wild. Meanwhile, Ramona and Elise continue to argue about all 50 of Ramona's close friends. And Ramona's like, embrace my friends, appreciate what I've done for you. And Elise is like, oh, God. And Ramona just fully flees. So then Elise and Ramona rejoin the group. It kind of reminded me of the movie Clue. It was like, dun, 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 with everyone just running around the house, like having conflict. Dorinda then calls out that it wasn't cool for her to immediately jump to, this is in regards to Ramona, it wasn't cool for Ramona to immediately jump to, are you drunk, in her accusations towards Dorinda. So Dorinda and Sonia call out how shitty Ramona was at Larry Scott's showroom. And Ramona's like, what? No, you're like drinking all the sugar. You were like on a sugar high. It was a sugar high. And I'm like, do you mean like drinking the Kool-Aid? Like, what? And they're all like drinking the sugar. Like, literally, what the fuck are you talking about? And seamlessly, Dorinda and Ramona are suddenly, they go from like being tense to like giggling and cuddling on that hideous purple velveteen couch. I was like, huh? Like, it all happened so fast. Sonia's already blitzed. Dorinda calls out how late Lou was for her own Halloween party. And then Ramona and Elise embrace. And then Sonia says to Leah, you know, Ramona, she will sing and play that part. Basically just that Ramona will like kiss everyone's ass the second she's in trouble with them. And everyone just always like falls for it and like lets it go. And then it just happens over and over again, which is, again, why the show is getting boring, because I'm just like, I can call out these patterns in this group of friends. And it's exhausting because nothing fucking changes. Then Elise climbs into Ramona's lap. She's like, well, you know, Dorinda, that was like kind of like a Tinsley voice. She's like, well, Dorinda climbed into your lap, so I want to climb into your lap too. And Ramona's like, okay, well, you know, you're a little heavy. Ramona calls Elise heavy. And this whole like, Elise is just like quiet desperation of being like, well, I saw Dorinda do this, so I want to sit in your lap too. Just like, hold me. It reminded me of like, I had this one camp counselor and she was the fucking coolest. She was like from LA and really pretty and wore like nice clothes at camp, and she was just like a camp legend. And she was my counselor 1 year, and I would just drape myself all over her being like, be my friend, like, and she just like clearly was not about me at all. Like, she overtly couldn't stand me, but I would still like desperately try. And I just feel like watching Elise desperately try to like snuggle with Ramona, and Ramona just being like, oh, sure. I was like, whoa, I'm taken back to being a desperate camper in 2003. Kill me. Dorinda and Ramona talk one-on-one while Dorinda builds a fire about how Ramona needs to enjoy being alone and find the right person who loves her for the right reasons. And at this point, everyone's taking a very slurry, drunken turn. And Dorinda's like, a strong man would laugh at that and be like, you do you. They'll be so happy. All you need is one. You know, maybe you'll meet him at a grocery store. And Ramona's like, you know, and then Dorinda kind of makes a dig where she's like, you're not going to meet him at that party we went to. And Ramona in her interview is like, you know, Dorinda doesn't know where to meet a guy. And actually, two of those guys from that party asked me out, and they're very eligible. And Jake made a comment where he was just like, fuck you, Ramona. Because like Dorinda literally looked like she was like on the verge of tears in that moment. Because I think they both are just kind of like sad and lonely. And Ramona just, she's just so... Dorinda can be mean, obviously, but so can Ramona. I'm just like, oh, the tension. So we cut to the gals lounging around the house, and Sonia says, let's order pizza and go to bed early. Me. I wrote that in caps. That is literally a mood and a vibe, and it's me. Let's order pizza and go to bed early. And Sonia's like, you know, I tell you, I don't like those big dicks. I want romance. And Leah's like, I want someone to put their tongue in my butt. And Luann's like, take out Chinese. Let's get takeout Chinese. I swear, this is like fucking August Osage County. It was just like overlapping dialogue, like one after the other after the other. And all the ladies are thrilled about the notion of Chinese food. And Luann's like, then Luann adjourns to the balcony and goes, oh, look at that mountain range. And Sonia's like, purple majesty, purple majesty. And then they celebrate Sonia's ass. And she's like, with assets like this, why do I have to work, baby? Ha! And I was like, why wasn't that Sonia's new tagline? Like, that would have been a great tagline. I'm, again, not into these new taglines. And then they're talking about Lou's cabaret show and how Sonia is going to be a part of it. And this is where things really take a turn for the worst. Because Sonia goes, she never pays me. And Lou goes, I want to bring Sonia into my show because I love her. And Sonia's like, she wants to exploit me. And then Lou, like a switch flips, and she just sees red. She's like, exploit you? I don't need you. Go fuck yourself. And Luann insists that she pays her a whopping $225. Now, listen, I don't know what she's making off of these cabaret shows, but when I went to Countess and Friends, it was a packed venue. Everyone was shit-faced. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. I think all those funds just go towards the venue itself. But basically, like, all this to say, based on how many people were there, I was like, these cabaret shows are really fucking lucrative. And I'm sure that she can afford to pay Sonia more than $225. So then Luann's excuse for why she only pays her $225 is, I have Broadway actors. And then she says, for the first time out of like 200 times, she says, I don't need you in my show. And Sonia's like, you're being mean to me because you want me for free. You don't value me. You give me $225. That doesn't even cover my hair and makeup. And Luann fires her on the spot. She's like, you know what? I have my own cabaret show that's very huge. And guess what? You're not a part of it. And I try to include you and you made me feel bad about it. You're done. You're done. And she stomps off mumbling to herself, huh, you're done. I don't want you in my show, you bitch. And so then Sonia starts crying, which is like, obviously, this honestly really pissed me off because I was like, you know what? If Sonia felt like she was being underpaid, maybe she could, you know, just be like, actually, I don't want to do the show. Like, she could make that boundary, or like, sure, she could have brought the pay thing up like differently. But the fact is like, Sonia is a non-confrontational person. I mean, like, that's not fully true. Like, we've seen her get in confrontations before, but she is like a very sensitive person. Like, we've seen Bethany rip her head off, now Luann. And so it's like, I don't know that there was a way in which Sonia could have brought that up to Luann where she wouldn't have gotten her feelings hurt, which is probably why she hadn't brought it up sooner and it just sort of drunkenly slipped out. But Luann just like, she went off the fucking rails. So Sonia starts crying. Dorinda's trying to comfort her. Dorinda's like, no, that's not acceptable behavior. And Sonia's like, I'm a warrior. I'm a funny girl. And Leah's like, you are a funny girl, just like Fanny Bryce. I don't know who the fuck Fanny Bryce is. Then Ramona's like, Lou, where are you, Lou? You're missing the point, Lou. So Ramona tries to like calm Luann down and like mediate the situation. Lou keeps defending her national tour. She's like, you think I need Sonia Morgan who's gonna take her clothes off on stage? No. She's like, she thinks she's gonna be the star of my show. Well, she's sadly mistaken. And then meanwhile, Sonia's crying, being like, I love Luann. I love her. And Dorinda's like, well, she doesn't love you. You want me to stand up for you right now? You want me to stand up for you? I'll stand up for you because I'm a warrior. Are you weak? Are you weak, Sonia Morgan? Because you need me to be strong for you? Fucking bitch. Come on, Lou. Come on. And she just like bolts to go confront Luann. And I was like, oh, fuck. This is going to end in tears or like a scratch to the face. But Sonia's like whimpering on the couch with Elise and Leah. Because I'm like, Dorinda, I know you're like trying to be supportive, but like that was some tough love. Being like, are you weak? Are you like, she's crying. Get the fuck out of her face. So Dorinda marches into the kitchen while Ramona and Luann are talking. And she comes in with her sharp pointer finger going, that's weak play. You know, she's crying. She's crying. You go, you're never going to be in my show. That's weak play. Shame on you. Shame on you. I feel like that second time I said shame on you, I sounded like Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where he's like, Vernon, what are you doing? Do you remember that scene where he gets on the phone with the principal and he's like, no, not Vernon, that's Breakfast Club. He goes, Rooney! Anyways, Ferris Bueller appreciation joke. So then Dorinda's like, she's like, she stood by you in your journey of sobriety. Yes, in your journey of sobriety. And she's like, you want to forget that? We're not forgetting it. So be kind to her. She's crying. And Luann's like, no, I never want to see her in my show. She's worthless. You're worthless. She like walks by Sonia and yells, you're worthless. And she's like, I don't want to see you in my show. You're not coming into my show ever. And I'm like, okay, listen, again, I attended her show. She played the bongos in an evening gown. Let's not act like, you know, she cast Sonia in the role of like Elphaba, if we're going to bring it back to Wicked. And then she took it away from her. Like, it's like, Luann, like, get the fuck off your diva high horse. Okay. So that's how the episode ended, with Luann just like verbally abusing Sonia and Sonia crying. And next week we get more drama at Bluestone Manor. Cannot wait. We have like a sloppy Ramona. We have Luann drunkenly screaming at Dorinda. Dorinda comes at her for the mugshot. Dorinda says some really fucked up things to Luann, and Luann, it looks like, is going to leave early. We find out that Leah peed on a prince. Ramona clogged the toilet. Ugh, Ramona's poop is like a trope in this show, just like sequins are a trope in this show. We have a Heather Thompson sighting. Hey, mama. Heather Thompson comes back. And then there's like a Bluestone Manor rager. So it looks like next week is going to be stacked with drama. I liked this episode. I had a great time. I laughed. I cried. It moved. There was a momentum to it. It felt fresh. So I hope the rest of the season stays in that vein. I honestly, again, I say this every week, I'm just counting the minutes until Potomac comes back, because I really do think, I don't want to speak too soon, but I think I am getting to a point where just like I've seen every storyline on Bravo so many times where it kind of is just starting to feel a little stale to me. But Potomac is such a young franchise and the cast is just so amazing and dynamic that like it still feels so fucking fresh. And that's why I'm so excited for it. But this was a good episode. I'm excited for next week. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're liking the show, again, feel free to head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. And thank you so much. We will see you next week. Bye.